I was sharing a little bit earlier with one of the guys back there that it's been so long since I've actually spoken to church here. I actually kind of found myself getting nervous about it this week. And I was like, wow, you know, I have to write a sermon and it's got to make sense. And I need to make bulletin notes and I need to do overhead stuff. And so I just kind of had a little bit of a panic attack, you know. So it's good to be back, at least for one Sunday. The other thing that is kind of frustrating is trying to do a sermon series when you're not here that often. Especially when you're talking about something as important as the Holy Spirit. And I am going to continue on that for at least a couple more times that I speak. Because even though we've done it pretty much all summer, we've really not even scratched the surface of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life, the importance of the Holy Spirit in the whole scheme of salvation and in the work of God. This morning we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit affects the world and how the Holy Spirit comes to. Today we're going to look at really how the Holy Spirit works in us in a very specific way. We're going to look at a very familiar passage to you, although because we're going to be talking about the passage with the fruit of the Spirit in there. But we're actually not going to talk much about the fruits. We're going to deal with the before and after, because oftentimes we focus on the fruit of the Spirit, but we don't talk about how that is manifest in your life. What has to happen in order for the fruit of the Spirit to be in our lives? Now, just want to say this from the beginning. We do not produce the fruit of the Spirit. That is not an our thing. That is the Holy Spirit thing producing that fruit in us. So we need to remember this. It's not that He gives us the power to produce this fruit, but no, He produces this fruit in us. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 16. Because Paul has something really important to tell us here, because he's contrasting our old nature and our life under the Spirit. And I know we've talked about that before in the past too, and we're not going to necessarily focus so much on the contrast either. Although we will be talking about what basically the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit are. Starting in verse 16 of chapter 5. We read, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for the truths that it holds for us, for the help that it gives us, for the power that is in your word for every believer. Father, I pray now that as we look at your word, that you would release its power in our hearts. Father, help us to see how important it is to walk by the Spirit and not to allow our earthly flesh to control our lives, but to give ourselves to the Spirit and to you, Lord. Father, speak to us as we go through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you in here like to eat fruit? Anyone in here like to eat fruit? What's your favorite fruit? Go ahead, just what's your favorite fruit?
Cherries.
I love cherries.
Strawberries.
I love strawberries. Raspberry. I love raspberries. Yeah. Blueberries, they're okay. Blackberries. Is it watermelon? Oh, is that a fruit? I thought it was a vegetable because you grow it in your garden. Is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
Fruit.
Really? Well, then I had fruit last night. That tomato on my pizza. Okay, you guys how many of you like pineapple? Oh, yeah. How many of you like mango? Yeah. How many of you like oranges? See, you guys are fruit eaters. It's too bad we're eating cookies after we're done here. We love fruit. We love to eat fruit. But we can't grow every type of fruit here, can we? I mean, as you drive through the countryside, have you ever, around here, seen a great big field of pineapple? Have you? No, we can't grow pineapple here because we don't have enough sun, we don't have enough moisture. Pineapple requires a lot of moisture, a lot of humidity, and a lot of sun, and a fairly long growing season. Now, if you go down towards Hermiston, you can grow great watermelons, which you've told me now is a fruit. So that's really good. I guess you can grow them up here, except our berry isn't as fast as growing, so it doesn't make a lot of difference. One of the new superfoods, because every few years they got to come up with a new superfood. Honestly, I believe it comes up by the growers of these different foods. But the new superfood is coconut. Did you know that? It is. It's coconut. And the oil is just marvelous for you. I mean, it's supposedly, you're supposed to eat coconut. It was canola oil about 5 years ago. Now it's coconut oil. I'm sure it's going to be some other type of oil, just depending on who grows the most. But now, I do enjoy coconut and stuff, but when is the last time you saw a coconut grow in Colfax, or Pullman, or Spokane, or quite frankly, anywhere in Washington? Have you ever seen a coconut grove? No, because we can't grow coconuts here. But it just hit me. You guys didn't name the number one fruit in Washington.
Apples.
You guys don't like apples?
I love apples.
Thank you. Maybe you guys should make a move to Idaho. You like pineapple better than... we do see apple orange orchards here, not so much around here, but I heard at one time there used to be quite a few plum orchards here, and I love those things too. But one thing that you're not going to see in Hawaii, you're not going to see an apple orchard. They can't grow apples there. You know why? Apples require gold to grow. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. They require a certain amount of gold. And so, honestly, I know this is just probably poor research, but did any of you ever see an apple tree on Gilligan's Island? Did you? No. Bananas? Oh, what's bananas? That's one of my favorite fruit too. I love bananas. I'm so glad Costco has some cheap. I wish they were yellow. Have you ever had a banana in Hawaii when they're absolutely yellow off the tree? Which is really hard to find because, believe it or not, the rats like to eat them before you get them that way. So they turn green and ripen. But they, I mean, you've not had a banana until you've had a banana in Hawaii that has been ripened naturally. Oh, they just, but anyway, to make a long story, to end a long story, let's just put it that way. You can't grow fruit in every climate. You have to have the right climate to grow fruit. I mean, it's a kind of a well-duh type thing. Yeah, you have to have, you know, we're fortunate in this day and age that we have great transportation and we can have almost anything imported into our little city that we want to eat. You know, it can happen. But in the olden days, you know, if you would ask someone who wanted a pineapple, they'd probably look at you like, is that off a pine tree? You know, I mean, where does a pineapple come from? And because they could have got, because you can't grow it here. You can't grow bananas here and oranges. And I know some people are growing, have an orange tree in their house. That doesn't count for years. That just doesn't, you know. Orange trees don't belong in houses. And I suppose you could if you wanted to put the kibby dome and put skylights in it and put a big heating system and a big watering system, you could maybe grow that stuff there. But again, you have to create the climate in order for it to grow. Well, it's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit has to have the right climate in order for us, for it to grow in us. So we're going to look a little bit at what kind of climate it is. And Mark, I'm going to dump about the first four scriptures, okay? Because I'm not going to go there. I am going to cut a little bit of time off my sermon. Not words, just time off my sermon, but I'm going to those scriptures. So anyway, what we're going to do, if you have your outlines, we're going to go down to... in order to grow fruit, you must have the right climate. So Mark, you can find that on the overhead, that'll probably be right. The first thing that you need to have in order to grow the fruit of the Spirit, again, and it's a really well-duh type thing, is you need to have the Holy Spirit in you. You need to have the Holy Spirit in you. And if you remember from previous sermons and stuff like that, how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit come into you? Well, we made the claim that the Holy Spirit comes into all people who believe in Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. At that point, the Holy Spirit comes in you. In Ephesians 1:13 and 14, Paul writes, "In him you also have, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of your inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possessions to the praise of his glory." But Paul is saying is when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is a pledge to us, the Holy Spirit being in us, that we have salvation through believing in Jesus Christ. Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" And he's writing to the Christians in Corinth. So he says, again, if you are a true believer, not just someone who calls himself a Christian. There's a lot of people in our country today that, well, yeah, I'm an American, so I'm a Christian. No, that doesn't work that way. You are a Christian by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when that happens, the Spirit comes and lives in us. And so the first part of that is that we need to have the Holy Spirit in us if we are going to exhibit any of the fruits of the Spirit. The next thing that we must do to have the right climate, and again, Mark, I'm skipping down to point two, is we must walk by the Spirit. We must walk by the Spirit. Okay, so it's not just enough to have the Holy Spirit living in you. That's great. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to show us what to do, where to go, to help us to discern what is God's will and what is not God's will. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, not just live in us. Now, again, Galatians 5:16, it begins, but I say walk in the Spirit. Also, Galatians 5:25 says, but if we live by the Spirit, live, and what that is saying is kind of the translation is just a tad backwards here, but if the Spirit lives in us, is what what Paul is saying, then we also, let us also walk by the Spirit. So it doesn't do, it's great to have the Spirit in you. Because again, that is a seal of salvation in you. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. You know, that's not something we like. In this day and age, we don't want and maybe it's our country and it's our Western independence or whatever it is. No one is going to control me. No one's in charge of me. I'm in charge of myself. Of course, that's one of the things that the world explains. That's not true. You know, we are not really in charge of ourselves. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives if we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in us. So what are some of the benefits of walking in the Spirit? What do we gain from that? I mean, why is it so important that we walk in the Spirit? Well, first of all, and as we see in our passage of Scripture, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh if you're walking according to the Spirit. If you're walking by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, I read for you the desires of the flesh a little earlier, and I read them out of the New American Standard Revised Version, but I wanted to read them out of a more contemporary version, so I'm going to read those same verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read it out of the New Century Version of the Bible. Because I know there's a lot of people, they look at that and go, well, I'm not immorality, fornication, all. You know, we use these big words and it's kind of like, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure I don't do it. Yeah, but this translation kind of breaks it down a little bit. And I like, so listen to the way it reads. I think, though, Mark, I put it up, the other one on the screen. So you're going to have the New American Standard Version up there. And I'm going to read to you out of the, because the computer didn't have this version. that's why I'm reading. The computer didn't have it. That's why I put it up there. But listen to what it says in this. The wrong things the sinful nature does are clear. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like this. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit God's kingdom. Now, it's interesting when you break those words down, because all of a sudden then, I can identify with some of those. I don't, some of them I still don't have an issue with, but you know, this thing of, being jealous. Well, I'm not jealous of anyone who's got a boat that's better than mine, that runs, that floats. I'm not jealous of people who get to go fishing more often than me. I'm not jealous of that at all. And I never get angry. Unless I'm driving. And by the way, I need to correct something. When I use that illustration of driving and showing tantrum stuff, that's not a good thing. That's not a positive thing that I want you to emulate out of my life. That's one of the things that is a confession for me. I do this, and because I do this doesn't make it all right for you to do it, and doesn't make it all right for me to do it. So anyway, just don't take that wrong there. You know, being selfish. Well, I've never been selfish. All of a sudden, it kind of makes more sense when you look and you break it down and you take some of the big, more religious words out of it. And what do those words mean? And that's kind of what this translation does. So when we walk with the Spirit, we don't fulfill the desires of these things in our life. Now, it isn't a once and for all thing. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. We have to walk with the Spirit daily if we're going to do that. So then the second part of that is, not only will you not do bad things, which it's great not to do bad things, but you know, there needs to be something that you do that is good also. You will produce fruit. The Holy Spirit will produce fruit in you. Let's put it that way. Galatians 5, 22, 20 through 24, or 23, excuse me. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there are no law. These are good things. So when you walk by the Spirit, the things we read about before, you don't show in your life. The things that we talked about in these verses, you do. Obviously, I mean, you guys can sit here and you can say, I know what's good and what's bad. I can see it. I mean, it's really plain. Paul makes it very plain in his passage of Scripture. And yes, we want to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every time I say that, I think of this song that our Awana kids sing. You know, and you can't be a fruit. No, if you're a pineapple, no. Anyway, it's a, yeah, I should have had the girls come up and do it for you. They're doing great. Anyway, but those are the things that, you know, and they even sound good. But these are the things that come from walking in the Spirit. So, the million-dollar question, and this is something that pastors get knocked on all the time. Okay, you tell us what you should do and what you shouldn't do, but you don't tell us how to do it. You know, well, okay. So, I'm going to try to tell you how to do this. With the help of Warren Wiersbe. I like Warren Wiersbe. He's just down-to-earth type of a theologian guys, if you want to get a commentary set for your own house, get Warren Wiersbe, because he's just good. But he makes this statement in his commentary, and it's just great. He goes, walking in the Spirit is not some emotional experience detached from everyday life. It's not an emotional experience detached from everyday life. It is the daily experience of the believer who feeds on the Word, prays, and obeys what the Bible says. I love that statement. Because we in here we get this, so how do we walk by the Spirit? Well, there's three things that Wiersbe mentions in here that we're going to run with. First thing is, you feed on God's Word. And I love the way he said that. Feed on it. You know, actually gorge on it. Just, you know, obviously I'm a person who enjoys eating. I do. You know, there's certain foods I really love. I mean, popcorn is one of them. It's a huge weakness. Now, I guess there's worse things that you can love. You know, but popcorn is a huge weakness. You know, it's only, of course, it's only good to do it in foil with butter and salt. So it's not particularly healthy for you by the time you get done with it. But, you know, I love that thing. And I gorge myself on popcorn, telling myself that it's high in fiber. And it's low calories. At least it was before I started with it. You know, and so I gorge myself on it. And I'm thinking, why don't I do that with God's Word? Why don't I just, oh man, I can't get enough of this. I'm gonna read more. I'm going to read more. We go to the book of Psalms, and there's a chapter in the book of Psalms that is just phenomenal, but no one reads it because it's so blasted long. It's Psalms 119, and it's all about the Word of God, and it's a tremendous psalm to read, but it's going to take you a while. But in that, there are three verses that I love in there, and the first one is, the psalmist asks a question, is how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is by keeping it according to your word, to God's word. So when we're in God's word, the Holy Spirit can take that and apply it to our lives. And it helps us to keep our way pure or not satisfy the desires of the flesh. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Obviously, the acts of the flesh are sin. It's sin. It's sin. We know that. It's not hard to recognize that. But the psalmist says, your word I have treasured in my heart or hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word is important to us. And then, going back later on in the psalm, to give you an idea how long this psalm is, Psalm 119, 105, the 105th verse of that psalm. And that's a little over halfway through it. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See how important God's word is? We need to feed on God's Word. We need to feed on God's Word. That is what the Holy Spirit would want us to do. And that's how we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, because then you are giving material for the Holy Spirit to use in our life and to bring to our minds to help us in our spiritual life. The early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is what they did. It says they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, it doesn't mention God's word there, but guess what the apostles' teaching is? It's God's word. That's what they taught. And that is what has been recorded for us and we use as God's word. The second part of that is something that I think we all struggle with, is prayer. It's prayer. God's word and then prayer. Prayer is so important and we take it for granted. And we don't, you know, we have potlucks in our churches full. We have a prayer meeting and we have five. You know, we should be as dedicated to prayer as we are. We really should. And I'm not talking just group prayer either, but personal prayer life. What is your personal prayer life? It is so important to pray. We see in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, this is in between the time of Jesus ascending into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So this was an important time for the disciples. And it's interesting to me what they did. It said these all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Right? Their one leader had gone and their other leader hadn't come yet. And so what did they do in the interim time? Now before, Peter went fishing. But this time, Peter prayed. They devoted themselves to prayer. And I think it's so important that we devote ourselves to prayer. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, talks about the spiritual armor, how we can fight against against Satan and against his armies and against his legions and his dominions and all those people who are, he puts on this suit of armor, which is great, but this is what he says at the very last of it. He says, with all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be on alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mysteries of the gospel. Pray, that's part of the spiritual armor. First Thessalonians 5:17. I guarantee you can remember this one. Pray without ceasing. That's it. First memorization, there it is. Pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with the attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourself to prayer. Again, you can see the scriptures are very clear. We need to pray. We need to feed on God's word. We need to pray. Then the last thing we need to do is be obedient or obey God's word. Obey God's word. You know, there are a lot of people who study, learn. They fill things in their head and they never do it. They just learn, they just cram, and it's good to learn and it's good to cram things in there, but if it doesn't manifest in the way that you do things, and if it doesn't affect you, if it does not change the way you are, if you do not do what it says, which is what James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us with fruit. But the right climate has to exist. The Holy Spirit has to, first of all, exist in us. But then we need to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And that means we need to be in God's Word. We need to pray. And we need to be obedient to God's Word. When we do it, we will find that the Holy Spirit will lead us. And the desires of the flesh will not be evident in our lives. And the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our lives. One of the things that is such a benefit for us who know the Lord from having this Holy Spirit inside of us is that we no longer walk by the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. And the Spirit fills us with His fruit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live in each and every one of us who believes in you. Father, help us now to yield more fully to your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be people who study your word, feed on it. Help us to be a people who are in prayer and pray at all times. Help us to be an obedient people who don't just learn, but obey what we learn. Father, I do pray that you'd help each and every one of us more fully yield to your Holy Spirit and to walk by your Spirit, that we may be filled with the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and that it may be obvious to all who are around us that we are children. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.